President Trump issued the second veto of his presidency yesterday on a resolution that would have ended American military support in the war in Yemen. The war is in its fourth year, and it's caused a famine that's killed thousands of civilians in Yemen. Dalia Fahmy is an associate professor of political science and an expert on politics in the Middle East from Long Island University, Brooklyn. Dalia, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
What is currently the American military role in Yemen?
So currently, it is relatively limited in that it is non-combatant technical assistance. We don't have boots on the ground. We provide logistical assistance, satellite imagery, but more importantly, the United States is selling arms to Saudi Arabia at an alarming rate. For example, just in the past 10 years, Saudi Arabia has purchased weapons and arms from the United States totaling $350 billion. And a big chunk of it is just since 2013. And so when we look at the amount of arms Saudi Arabia has today in its arsenal and how much of it is being used in Yemen and how much logistical support is given by the United States, although it is a Saudi-led coalition or a Saudi-led effort, it is heavily supported by the United States.
Can you talk about the humanitarian situation in Yemen, both from direct military attacks and from the resulting famine?
Sure. So I heard your statistic about a few thousand. Actually, the statistics, according to the Center for Armed Conflict Location and Vendetta Project, it's upward of 80,000 when you include those who are indirectly affected. If you look at the entire population of Yemen today, which is about 30 million, the UN estimates that 80% or 24 million of them are actually in need. And 14 million of them, half the population, is in acute need. More than 20 million people, two-thirds of the population, are food insecure, and 10 million suffer from extreme levels of hunger. Two-thirds of the population doesn't have access to water or to health care. So the country that is essentially a port country that should have access to the world is completely cut off today because of the nature of the bombardment of ports, hospitals, and schools.
Can you talk us through how this war got started locally at first, I guess, and then internationalized?
So locally, just as most of the Arab Spring nations in 2011, this started as a popular uprising, but we saw very quickly the removal of the leader, and then it crumbled into civil war with a lot of foreign intervention from Saudi Arabia and Iran, because there is a sectarian nature to it evolved into a sectarian conflict between Sunni and Shia rebel groups, but essentially it wasn't the core issue. And so when you see Saudi Arabia and Iran pivoting through their struggle of who's going to emerge as the leader from in the Middle East, as they are also fighting in Syria, you're starting to see this co-opting of a conflict by major power players. And here you see the heavy-handed nature of Saudi Arabia.
Dalia Fahmy is with us from Long Island University, Brooklyn, looking at the civil war in Yemen, a vote in Congress to end U.S. military aid to the Saudi Arabian coalition in Yemen, and President Trump's veto of that congressional resolution. This action from Congress, Dalia, it's not something we see all the time, Congress stepping in and saying, executive branch, stop this military operation. Can you talk about what you saw from Congress here?
You're absolutely right. You know, the War Powers Act essentially was enacted because of the Vietnam War, and it was really to curtail the power of the president to put the United States in a protracted conflict. And so what we saw from Congress was a couple of things. This was bipartisan, and it was from both branches, saying that the president can't enter into a war or continue in a war where there is no clear exit strategy. And this signals also the president's lack of respect or heeding the warnings of several generals on the nature of conflict and how he has been engaging in the Middle East. For example, withdrawing with troops from Syria very quickly, and this protracted conflict in Yemen with no clear exit strategy. And this signals from Congress that President Trump's continued support of this Saudi regime is coming into question. Now, we saw this earlier this year and late last year with the death of the Washington Post contributor Jamal Khashoggi, which was spoken about throughout the world but was not condemned clearly by our president to the Saudi regime, especially in his meetings with them. And then again earlier this year when there was this embrace of reforms from the current leader of Saudi Arabia until his father actually gives it to him, Mohammed bin Salman, that he's the great reformer. And yet, although there has been the symbolic women can drive, most of the feminist leaders who actually led that movement are in prison. And we've seen not just the arrest of feminists, but many of the reformers and activists in Saudi Arabia. And yet the president, our president, remains silent on this and continues to herald Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, as a reformer. And so what we're seeing from Congress is this rejection of how the president is conducting foreign policy in the Middle East. And yet today this veto, or yesterday's veto, says that, no, the president is not going to be in keeping with what's coming out of Congress. Now, on one hand, this is understandable. The president says, I don't want Congress to tell me what I can do. I'm the commander of the military. And that has been the mantra of many U.S. presidents, President Obama and President Clinton as well. But this is a little different in that the United States is engaged in a protracted conflict with no clear exit strategy that our own military leaders are saying we should not be in.
What did the Obama administration do in the early days of this Yemeni conflict?
The Obama administration in the early days of the Yemeni conflict and much of the conflicts of the Arab Spring was hedging its bets. You know, they were silent in that it wasn't clear what was happening in the Middle East and the Levant. And so there was the keeping it at bay as long as it didn't spill over. And there and this might have allowed this to turn into a civil war, just as the one in Yemen did, in Syria did, but this allowed for the heavy-handed involvement of Saudi Arabia, and that is not in keeping with U.S. national interest.
Is there any kind of prospect for a peaceful resolution in Yemen? There's been a unsteady, I gather, ceasefire, but people are skeptical that that's going to last too long. What do you see, I guess, on the hopeful side?
There has been a couple of attempts at ceasefires that have been violated, ceasefires that have been violated by continued bombing of ports. But we have seen certain steps taken more recently by coalitions from different leaders of the Arab world to step in Yemen. However, until Saudi Arabia's power over this war is curtailed, and that can only come from withdrawing U.S. support, this will still be one of the spheres that Saudi Arabia is trying to put a heavy-handed footprint.
So you see the U.S. having leverage, should it choose to use it, to help bring this conflict to a close?
Absolutely. Saudi Arabia cannot do this on its own, cannot conduct war on its own. It relies very heavily until recently on the United States, for example, for refueling of planes. It relies on the United States for tactical support, for logistical support, for training, but more importantly, for satellite imagery. And so they cannot continue to be engaged in a war without heavy support from the United States.
We'll leave it there for now. Dalia, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Dalia Fahmy, professor of political science and an expert on politics in the Middle East from Long Island University, Brooklyn. She was with us today to talk about the war in Yemen and President Trump's veto of a resolution that would have ended American military support for Saudi Arabia there.